In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'd like to begin our sermon today just by acknowledging and welcoming those who join us online. We have a lot of feedback of late that the sound is not very good, especially with the pulpit. We have a fairly antiquated system, so we're trying different things. We're going to try today to offer the humble word and allow the lyric mic instead of the mic here. So just a greetings for those online. I hope this helps. And today is a special day. Every Sunday is. The seventh Sunday after Easter is a liminal day between the Feast of the Ascension and the Feast, actually, of Pentecost. And what did the disciples do in that liminal period? They waited in Jerusalem. It's always a sweet period for the church. We also honor today the visitation of Mary. Yesterday, the 31st, was the major feast of the church, the feast of the visitation. Remember, after Angel Gabriel announced to Mary she would be with child, she visited her kinswoman Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. And they came to greet. The baby left in Elizabeth's womb. And I've placed on the altar for today the oldest trunkle that we own. And in the middle is an image of the visitation. I have never seen a button with the image of the visitation. It is the most rare thing. It was found in a safe a few years ago. We didn't know we even had it. It's beaded. It's like you and me. It has a lifespan. I don't know how many years it has left. While we have it, we're going to enjoy it. And after the mass, please feel free to walk up because it's beaded. It's unbelievable in its beauty. And we have always, on this Sunday, after the Ascension, always a passage from the 17th chapter of John. Maybe different verses, but always from the beloved 17th chapter of John. It is often referred to as the high priestly prayer, as part of the farewell discourse of our Lord. And in essence, we might say, it was part of his last words. And do we not put more precious weight on last words? And in the 17th chapter of John, our Lord is praying, like the Lord's Prayer, his words come from his heart, the window of the very soul of our Lord and Savior. He prayed for his disciples and for those who would come to their word. Meaning, he prays for you and me. And I would ask possibly, but sometime maybe today or this week, to take your Bible and to read the 17th chapter of John. Even better yet, to pray the 17th chapter of John. I mean, you can pray the scripture. And this is a beautiful chapter to pray. The language is lofty, I and you, and you and me, and we and them. But it's a beautiful chapter, and the theme of the chapter is unity. And it seems to be a theme of the Gospel of John. He emphasizes it in a very literal sense, such as today, praying for the unity of the church, the unity of the disciples, the unity of those who follow. John also has subtle hints of unity. It's in John's Gospel that it's emphasized when the disciples let down their net, remember, in the resurrection appearance, Jesus said, put it on the other side. The fish were so many, but the net did not break. He emphasized that. It's John who emphasizes that in crucifixion, that the soldiers cast lots for his cloak. Why? Because it had no seams. It was one. It couldn't be divided. Unity is a central concern for John. And it's from the Gospel of John, 2,000 years that the church has iterated and preached and praised in unity. There's a bit of humor in this, but think about the church in the world. We are divided six ways to Sunday. I mean, every tradition, we split and we start over. But nevertheless, the prayer of our Lord in prayer of the church is unity. Because we know, do we not, in our marriages, in our countries, in our relationships, at work, when we are in conflict, we're at war. It is an energy bank, isn't it? When your country is at war, you're not going to give the resources to education, to art, to medicine. It's all going into the country. So as soon as possible, we pray to these things in so the quality of life can come back and be nourished and be comforted. Yet sometimes it seems that we cannot avoid a system. I love the story of Frederick Douglass, an 1818 born a slave, as a young man ran away from slavery and became this great abolitionist. Became really one of the great fathers of our nation. So influential in the way people thought. What we rarely hear about Frederick Douglass from his own words is that his convictions, his, what we would call activism, his purpose came from his rooted and deep Christian Trinitarian faith. And he was always active in the church. As I love how the flat has a beautiful phrase, advanced churches. And he was always active. And there was a story that he was active in their Methodist Episcopal Church. And one day, it was time for the Holy Communion, and the minister made clear that the white members were to come first. And only when he was assured that every white member had been served, he lifted up his hand and said, "Come, my colored friends." Frederick Douglass walked out of the church and never came back. He and Richard Allen, your friend, another minister, started another denomination, the AME, we all know, the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And they were roundly criticized by majority white, but even some black. And the church, in him we will be one body, we in him, and he in us. We pray, and we have various Sundays that we are dedicated to Christian unity. Because when we pray, we are promised that things change. Not always the way that we think. It's not manipulative, it's not magic, it's not superstition, but circumstances change and we change when we pray. So we could pray for Christian unity. The second, and this is a point close to my heart, because it is the challenge for today's world, the challenge for this generation. And that is, for Christian unity, Christians need stick to it. We need tenacity. We need to stay in the water. We live in a wonderful world with some wonderful inventions. But everything is infinite, as I've so often said in this sermon. We have infinite food, infinite love, infinite transportation. It's in everything. And so when one thing doesn't work, we chuck it and we just go to something else. We do that. And what's happened is our attention spans have shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. I think I've said this before, right? An article where you no longer have songs to introduce sitcoms anymore. The Brady Bunch song, Gilligan's Island. Go straight into why? Because you surf off. We don't have to get the turn. We just click the button. Jokes come 20 seconds now from each other, otherwise we lose attention. And don't think that the shrinking attention spans of our culture doesn't trickle down to our spirituality. So often in the church, when we're bored, or when there is a conflict, we chuckle and we leave. It's like marriages or relationships. It's so sad when people give up too fast when it could have been saved. And so we're trying to stay in the water. I remember as a teenager in the 1970s, this present prayer book came out in 1979, and it was exciting. It caused tremendous division. They had 6 years of prayer instead of one. He said, "Oh, now you never know what you're going to get." And the ordination of women. But the thing that split the church where I was growing up was the physical passing of the feet. It split the church. People left over. It used to be that you simply knelt, the priest of the peace of the Lord be always with you, with thy spirit, and you went on. And the idea of disrupting the service and passing the feet was anathema. And I remember an elderly couple, the oldest couple in the church, the biggest donors of the church, the charter members of the church, left the church and took the faction with them. And the priest called me in because I was a member of the youth group. He said, "If a young person goes to their house, maybe it will help. Will you go?" Well, my spirit showed this big house, not in this big, beautiful door, and it didn't work. They never came back. And it was so sad. And so, but the ones that stayed didn't necessarily agree. And there had to be teaching about the passing of the feast. And the priest said, "Not when you ask about how's the house, how's the children. You know, the peace of the Lord be with you." There was even worry that men and women would be inappropriate when hugging or kissing. There was all these fears. We laugh at it now. But it was real then. Maybe 6 years from now, people look back at what divides us and say, "Why were they fighting over the fact?" But it was real. One that like these couples that think I'll make trouble today, they truly believe in the conviction of the problem. But thankfully, many, even who disagree, stay in the water, in their tenacity. And through the stick-to-itiveness, there was healing, there was actually growth, and unity. Not unity, always agreement to have unity. I've never forgotten that. And so it's something that we should think about today. And then lastly and quickly, yes, our faith requires much of us. Yes, it requires sacrifice. Yes, it requires dedication and commitment. But it is also to be enjoyed. I think Jesus laughed a lot with children and his disciples. It is also, it's okay to delight in our faith. And Jesus delighted us when praise his very. He knew what envy and prejudice and apathy could do. It could divide people. So he prayed because he loved us and enjoyed us. I think it's very important for us to think about that this prayer is answered perhaps when we are patient with ourselves and others. When we're slow to judgment, when we try to be rapid in forgiveness, and even sometimes just the trying of it is holy. And when we think we're just going through the motions, sometimes we do, remember that the motions themselves are holy. Blessed be the 17th chapter of John.